Have you ever thought of how healthy our first parents were? Eating the luscious fruit in the Garden of Eden? But when sin entered, then death entered. And all kinds of miserable sicknesses became the lot of fallen mankind. Now we've come full circle in this whole world. If we are to have life from the dead, we must have life from Him who clothes the naked with the robes of the Lamb's righteousness. And if we who are alive from the dead are to be spiritually healthy, we must have the fruits of righteousness abundantly in our lives. Hebrews 12:11 teaches that. And even the medical doctors and other health experts today tell us that if we are to avoid cancer and heart disease, then we must eat plenty of raw fruits and vegetables. This morning we are concluding our study of the barren fig tree in Luke 13. It is the Lord Jesus who has interceded for you and for me, who has asked the Father to let us alone this year also. That's the reason we have this year. He has let us alone this year to see if we will bear fruit to God. Otherwise, He will cut us down and burn us in fire. It should then be the major concern of every one of us in this room to be sure that we are bearing good fruit that the Lord is looking for in our lives. Otherwise, we point our finger at, however you say that, tsunami or tsunami or whoever. We point our finger over there and say, it happened to them. It'll not happen to us. But let us understand, if we do not bear fruit, the fruit that the Lord is looking for in our lives, then we will soon be cut down and we will be nigh unto burning. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8. In this inspired parable, we are especially thinking on Christ's words today in verse 7. He speaks the parable. It's His words, even referring to the Father. I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. So I'm going to ask three questions. What kind of fruit is the Lord looking for, first of all? What kind of fruit is the Lord looking for? He's only looking for good fruit. He's looking for pleasant fruit, for the sweet fruit of the Spirit in our lives. If the Lord does not find good fruit in our hearts, in our lives, we are in the most serious danger. Jesus said it in Matthew 3:10. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Oh, what strong words they were that John the Baptist came preaching. They were searching words. Oh, we are not beyond those inspired words today. Let us, everyone, understand, no matter who we are in this gathering, that every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. God judges unfruitful trees by cutting them down to die and by casting such unfruitful trees into hellfire. The second question that we're going to ask this morning is, what is the Lord not looking for in our lives? Well, He is not looking for leaves. You remember the fig tree. in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 19, Christ was going to the city of Jerusalem. And as He was about to enter Jerusalem, He saw a fig tree along the way that had leaves aplenty. But as He came to it, there was no fruit on it. He knew that. But He was showing His disciples something. He cursed it. And how promptly it withered and died. And they came back out later and the disciples were amazed that it was no time that it withered. The Lord was showing a very strong lesson. May we get the lesson today. Many people are like the fig tree with only leaves. They look good from a distance, but they will not bear close examination. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we are to sit in close examination upon our own hearts. You know, there's plenty of religious show, but there is very little reality and substance. And where is the good fruit? This is what we need to ask ourselves. Where is the fruit in my life? There are many people that seem to show some repentance, some amendments, some changing of their ways, some doing of spiritual things, but there is not the bringing forth of spiritual fruit with patience. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. There may be blossoms as well as leaves that suddenly spring forth, and even the beginnings of fruit can be seen. But it is all too soon and out of season. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 13 tells us of the fig tree casting her untimely figs. That is, the figs have come too soon. It was old John Bunyan who brought out this point that the figs, oftentimes the fruit in the lives of professors of the Christian faith. The fruit either comes too soon or it comes too late. It's the very opposite of what the Lord said about the godly in Psalm 1. He bringeth forth His fruit in His season. Not out of season, but in season the fruit comes. Not too early and not too late. I remember several times as a young boy and teenager, we had the fruit trees, and you always had to watch. You always were very concerned when, like we had just before this little cool weather we had last night, we had this warm weather, and the trees start budding out, and the blooms come out on the fruit trees. And how often the cold weather is not yet finished and the trees put on their fruit too soon. The frost then comes again and the little fruits were frozen and all fell off and withered on the ground. And I can remember standing under those trees and seeing the little partially developed fruit lying all around on the ground. Such are many people who make a fair show in the flesh. But as soon as hard times and persecution begin, they fall away, they give up, and they wither. There are many people who seem like they are genuine, seem like they are true believers, and they show some good signs. And yet, you let the troubles come. You let the heat really bear down. You let the afflictions and the sufferings really come that are inevitable for the people of God. Then those who are not true will be like that untimely fruit. It will fall away. They have not the Holy Spirit, for it is the Holy Spirit that causes that fruit to be brought forth in its season. My dear friend, if you were a true believer, understand this, you must suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, They all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You don't have to go looking for persecution. All you have to do is to live a godly life in an ungodly world. And you can count on persecution. You can count on suffering. You can count on tribulation. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. All of God's people must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. It's not change. We live in a modern age. But the fact remains. God's true people have endured it for thousands of years. Do you think you can avoid it? If you live a godly life, you will not be able to avoid suffering. I was listening yesterday on the radio as I was driving to J. Vernon McGee. And there was something else that he said that really struck me. There was someone sent in a question. And they said, how can the Jews be God's people? Look at the suffering they've endured for thousands of years. He said, now, they just answered their own question. Because if you're God's people, you're going to be persecuted. And so I had to agree with that. I like to find things that are positive that I can actually agree with. So, there's a type of fruit that would try to come too soon by the flesh. But there's also a fruit that comes too late. I say it. Because of sloth, because of indolence, because of laziness, because of procrastination, because of being consumed with all the things of the world. I don't remember who it was that said that. It says that so many people, this old writer said that so many people are just like Dathan and Abiram and Korah. They were so taken up with what they wanted to do, that they were swallowed up by the earth. And how many people are swallowed up by the earth? They don't have time for their soul. They don't have time for the things of God because they're swallowed up by the earth. All the other things have their attention. And it's too late when it comes time to really think about eternity. Too late to bring forth good fruit, true fruit. Missing the right season for fruit is exceedingly and excessively dangerous. It is perilous for your soul to make sure that you are bringing forth fruit unto God and good fruit now. Because there is coming a trial that will test your very foundation and your reality. In modern terminology, there is the window of opportunity, and that window is missed. But in biblical terminology, it's the door that's missed by slothfulness and by foolishness. In Matthew 25, verse 10, those coming too late found the door was shut against them. And ancient Israel, you may remember, came to enter the promised land, but it was too late. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8, Israel, as a vast majority, sinfully and faithlessly let the opportunity pass. In Numbers 14 verse 8, in the time when the Lord spoke to them through Joshua, that He would give them the land, that they should go up and possess it. They wouldn't go. And you know, a little later in that chapter, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 40, when the door was shut, then Israel came too late and said, "We will go up and we will possess the land." But what happened to them? They were destroyed. The Amalekites destroyed them. Reprobates are always too late. They recognize their need too late. They are sorry for their sin too late. They seek repentance too late, like Esau did. They ask for mercy too late. They desire to go to glory, but too late. God would have His fruit from us in His season. But sinners prefer their own way, and sinners prefer their own timetable rather than God's timetable. Therefore, multitudes perish in everlasting fire. The last question is this: how is good fruit produced? Good fruit is produced through righteousness. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. In order to produce good fruit, you must have Christ. It's through Christ. It's by Christ. You must have Christ. You must have His imputed righteousness if you're going to produce good fruit. You must have His imputed righteousness to deliver you from the curse of the law, which we are by nature under. We cannot produce good fruit while we are under the curse. The curse of the law. This imputed righteousness is received only by faith in His blood and in His cross work for us. But we must have more than imputed righteousness. We must have indwelling righteousness as well. God Himself dwelling in us. The Holy Spirit Himself producing His fruit in and through you. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now, good fruit is produced through righteousness. But good fruit is also produced according to repentance. According to repentance. Matthew 3, 8. We are commanded to bring forth fruit that is meet for repentance. M-E-E-T. That means suitable for repentance. That means that which is a right for repentance. That which is in line with repentance. That which is answerable. Or that which is true to the repentance that we profess. By saying that we repent, what are we saying? We say that we know that sin is an evil. Do you live as though sin was evil? We say that we have been brought to repentance. We say we're sorry for our sin. Do we live a life that declares that we are indeed sorry for our sin? We say that we are ashamed of our sin. Are we living proof that we are ashamed of our sin? Do we avoid even the appearance of evil? Beware, O barren fig tree. Beware, lest your life gives the lie to your profession. It's easy, once again, like those leaves, to have a good show. Some professors of Christ are only saints in public, but are devils at home. They are saints by profession, but they are devils by practice. What is the home like? Do you really pray at home? Do you really praise God at home? Do you really practice holiness at home? Repentance is not just sorrowing for sin. Repentance is an actual turning from sin to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. What does it mean, it worketh repentance? It actually brings about this glorious change. It's not just a theory. It's not just something that ought to be. But godly sorrow worketh repentance. Is your life really changed? Has your lust become purity? Has your pride changed to humility? Has your coveting turned into trusting? Has your indulgence changed to self-denial? Are you praying against the remaining corruption of your nature? You profess to have a share in another world. Are you really letting go of this world? Are you seeking the world that is to come? You profess to love Christ, but is He indeed your joy, your very life? Are you growing in conformity to Him? Do you really love Him? Do you demonstrate it by heart holiness? Is the life of Jesus being manifest in your mortal body? Do you live and walk like one that is bought with a price, even Christ's own blood? Well, Noah did. Noah lived by faith. And he walked by faith. And Noah's life of faith condemned the whole world. It condemned the world. Abraham's life of faith caused him to leave his own country, not knowing where he went, but he was going to go with the Lord. He was going to follow the Lord wherever the Lord led him. Moses gave up a kingdom in order to gain Christ. Paul left a lucrative religious practice for Christ. Many in the early church sold their possessions and brought what they sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. Many others burned their expensive and evil books for Christ's sake. And many more were themselves burned. They were hanged. They were racked. They were starved. They were drowned for the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question that this parable sets before us is this: are you still a barren fig tree? Is there good fruit in your life indeed? God is looking for good fruit. A barren tree is the object of God's displeasure. He will remove the barren. He will not let you continue to cumber the ground. He will cut you down. He will cut you off. This year also will pass. And how quickly it will pass. The year 2005 is going to be the fastest year passing that you have ever experienced. Isn't that the way of the world? As we get older, the years go by faster and faster. Soon the year will close, and soon your life on earth will close. Where will you be then? And what will you be then? Let's bow our heads together and pray. O Lord, we do thank Thee for the seriousness of the Holy Scriptures. Praise Thee for how Thou hast brought us to this portion, even as we have entered the new year. Thank Thee, Lord, that mercy by Christ's intercession has brought us into this year also. Cause us to consider that our years are flying by just like a tale that is told. How quickly we can tell a tale. How swiftly are our years like the shuttle of the weaver. How quickly our days pass by. The days of our years. Oh God, please write the truth upon our hearts that Thou wilt not let us simply cumber the ground. Please cause the fruit to be brought forth in all our lives to the glory of Thy great and thrice holy name. Amen. Amen.